Equestrian Legacy Radio's Campfire Cafe, and I'm your host, Gary Holt.
And I'm Mickey Daniel.
Hey, Mickey, good morning.
Good morning to you too, Mr. Holt. How are you doing?
I am doing fine. We are going to have so much fun today, and we're going to be talking with you and about everything that you've been involved in, and you've had an active fall, and so we're looking forward to talking about that and introducing your new CD or your latest CD. And then we'll be talking with Christy Landwehr, who is the Chief Executive Officer of the Certified Horsemanship Association. And we have to remind folks that the Campfire Cafe is made possible by our great sponsors at the General Store and in the Christmas Shop, where you'll find everything for the horse lover and folks that just love the equestrian lifestyle. And you'll find those in the General Store on our website at equestrianlegacy.net. When we come back, we're going to have fun talking with Mickey, and you're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world online at equestrianlegacy.net.
Never thought I'd meet a friend like that, not in my wildest dreams. I met Jesus in Texas, west of Abilene. I don't see how a man who lived 2,000 years ago, he could find me down in Texas, south of Amarillo. He came all the way from a town called Bethlehem, showing much he loves me and cares for who I am. I met Jesus in Texas, west of Abilene. On my knees one night I saw the light in my boots and jeans. Never thought I'd meet a friend like that. In my wildest dreams, I met Jesus in Texas, west of Abilene. Oh, look, play that fiddle. Come on, Mark.
Songwriter, a singer, a stunt woman, and and one of the funnest. Is that a good word? Funnest.
It is now.
It is now. You're one of the funnest young ladies to talk with. So, Mickey, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you so much. I am so glad to get to chat with you tonight.
Well, it is a lot of fun talking with you, and several things that we want to talk about, and we're going to be playing quite a bit of music from your latest CD, Cowgirl Swing, but kind of tell us what you've been up to. I mean, you have a busy, busy fall.
I have had a bit of an exciting past few months. Let's see. I think my traveling started back in September. We went to a Colorado gathering in Durango called the Durango Cowboy Poetry Gathering. It's one of my favorite gatherings to go to, and I absolutely love it. And I think that kind of kicked us off. And we since we started that, we've been going ever since then. And we did, I had that one down there in Durango, and then I did the Seagull Cowboy Gathering in Fort Worth, Texas, and that was really exciting and such an honor and privilege. I got to do that with Haley Sandoz and Kristen Harris. And then we went from there to Heber Valley, to the Heber Valley Western Music and Cowboy Poetry Gathering in Utah. From Utah, we came back to Texas, down to San Antonio, to Blanco, Texas, for a deal down there, and went from there to Albuquerque, New Mexico, and New Mexico to California from the Monterey Gathering. That was just not last week. I guess it was 10 days ago. Man, time flies.
Yeah. Well, I'm kind of out of breath. I mean,
me too.
You're spurning it up out there. So, you know, I want to mention to folks that are listening to the show to be sure and like the Facebook page. You've got Mickey Daniel fan page, and it's so much fun to keep up with what's going on with you and check out the videos and the photographs that you put on there. But yeah, you've just stayed so busy. And tell me a little bit about the Western Music Association deal out in Albuquerque. How was that? I know you do a lot of jamming. I guess you do a lot of jamming everywhere, don't you?
I do. I like it. That's kind of what we started is the Western Music Association. And it was for out of state that I had one that I got to perform at. And it's kind of just been just something I do every year there for me.
Yeah. We're having a little issue with your phone right now.
Now? Is that better?
That is better. Yeah, we were getting a little distortion in there. But, that's
right.
Better. It happens with live radio when folks are calling in from all over the country, so that's okay.
Let me back up.
All right.
Well, I've been going to the Western Music Association conventions for, I think this was my fifth year, or maybe my sixth, I don't really remember. And it is a great place to learn music, to get to jam with artists that you really respect and love and admire and follow. And it's an opportunity to meet those people that you have heard of on the radio, you know, on Equestrian Legacy Radio.
Right.
Or, you know, the like. It's not just a convention for fellow Western music artists. It's also a place where fans can come and see all of their favorite artists at the same event and purchase all of their music and support them at all their shows. You know, it's a really fun event. And on the Saturday night, there is the award show that is, it was so much fun. You know, it's a really dressy occasion, and everybody gets their, you know, beautiful dress or their nice suit and their new hats and new boots and go to the award show. And sometimes you're nominated for something, and sometimes you get to present an award, or sometimes you're just there to support all your friends and, you know, music family there. And it's a really, really fun weekend. So it's something that I enjoy going to.
Well, it looks like a great time out there. And one of the things that I was impressed with is that there's a youth program out there. And you actually have a youth showcase, don't you? So we're going to take a quick break because we're having a little problem with Mickey's phone. And we're going to play a song. I really enjoy this. This is one called Cold Blue Eyes, and it's from the Cowgirl Swing. And when we come back, we'll be talking more with Mickey. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio.
He was young and his face was weathered, gun savvy and range wise. Too young to fear death, yet a strong desire to survive. Ask him no questions, he'll tell you no lies. Such was the story, short-lived glory of coal blue eyes. Blood may run thicker than water, still it makes a bigger mess. Comrades like a four-leaf clover, hard to find, lucky to get. Young outlaw rider, western justice in disguise. Such was the story, short-lived glory of coal blue eyes. And the waters ran deep in the river of his soul. Time is out to get him till his heart grew cold. The sun slowly sets on his days of liberty. Those cold blue eyes belong to the boy, Benny McKenzie. Ride hard, shoot straight, and trust but few, the motto by which he lived. Friends grow and so do foes, even the best can slip. Everyone talks of heaven, but no one wants to die. Such is the story, short-lived glory of coal blue eyes. He walked with the devil and expected to keep his soul. The lessons learned will be remembered till one grows old. A boy becomes a man first in body, then in mind. Such is the story, short-lived glory of coal blue eyes. Of his soul. Time was out to get him till his heart grew cold, and the sun quickly set on his days of liberty. Those cold blue eyes belong to the boy, Benny McKenzie. They say the hero blue eyes ghost whispering in the breeze. They strung him up outside of town in that willow hanging tree. He'd stolen too many horses and taken too many lives. Such was the story, short-lived glory of coal blue eyes. 1, 2, 3. And the waters ran deep in the river of his soul. Father time was out to get him till his heart grew cold. The sun quickly set on his days of liberty. Those coal blue eyes belong to the boy, Benny McKenzie. Oh, farewell to the young son of a gun, Benny McKenzie. And his cold blue eyes.
Mickey, that is such a cool song. Did you write that one? Did you write that one?
I did. I did write that one. And you know what? It has the funniest story. You'll get a kick out of the story behind it. It was 10 months ago. I was in Colorado, and I was staying in a friend's condo above this river, and it was absolutely beautiful, beautiful scene. And I thought, man, I've got to write a song about this river. It's so cool. Well, nothing came. I couldn't even get a line out of it. So I was like, man, you know, what a bummer. So I Googled cool, short, one-liner quotes. And I ran across all these quotes that I decided just to incorporate as many of them as I could into a song. And that's what Cold Blue Eyes turned into. A song of quotes. So I think it has like 21 quotes in it. Yeah, it's too funny.
It's a neat song. I really enjoy that. And tell us a little bit about the Cowgirl Swing CD. How did that come about? And as I mentioned to you a little bit before the show started, there's some different music in there. How were some of these songs selected?
Sure. Okay. Well, Cowgirl Swing is kind of my pet project. It has 14 tracks, 9 of which I wrote, and the other 5 are originals by friends of mine or people that I really wish I could have met.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got a couple of old big band jazz standards from the 50s because I, as I mentioned on our last show together, was that there are so many artists that have really influenced me and inspired me in some form or fashion.
Right.
And some of those are big band artists such as like Lena Horne or Ella Fitzgerald and Dean Martin, you know. These great classic people that have really paved the way for classy music, you know. And I love it. And one of my tracks, track three, On the Street Where You Live, I remember the very first time I saw My Fair Lady. I was 6 years old, and I didn't understand the movie at all. I just knew that I loved the music, and I thought it was funny, you know.
Right.
And about three quarters of the way through the movie, there is this scene where Lovesick Freddy comes after Liza, and he's singing this song as he's, you know, running up and down the street, you know, and it's so funny. And it's called On the Street Where You Live. And I heard that song played by a friend of mine, Jenny Mack, about, I don't know, a year ago. And as soon as I heard it, she had a very different rendition of the song. And I thought, I know that song. And I hadn't heard it since I was probably 6 or 7 from the movie.
Yeah, right.
And I looked it up, and I said, I knew that was from My Fair Lady. And I loved the song, and I couldn't stop singing it. So that's what inspired me to include On the Street Where You Live. And there's a couple other ones, like I'm Gonna Lock My Heart and Throw Away the Key, or
right.
Polka Dots and Moonbeams, or It's a Sin to Tell a Lie. These are all, you know, Western swing, big band, classic songs that have really just played such an important part in me growing as a musician, you know, expanding what I do to include a little bit more variety and encompass a different style almost. And it's not a change of style, just adding style, you know?
Right, right.
And,
well, it's pretty cool. When I listen to On the Street Where You Live, and we're going to play that because that's one of the songs that we'd selected for the show today. When I listened to that, the first vision that came to mind was Tony Bennett and Lady Gaga performing together. You know, he's pairing up with folks that you would never imagine singing this type of music. And I listened to that, and I had this vision of Tony Bennett, and I can't tell you what Lady Gaga looked like in my mind when I was when I was doing that. But anyway, it's a fun song. It's a great CD, and let's go ahead and listen to this. This is a great song, and this is On the Street Where You Live, and it's from the Cowgirl Swing CD by Mickey Daniel. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio.
I've often walked down this street before, but the pavement always stayed beneath my feet before. All at once am I several stories high, knowing I'm on the street where you live. Lilac trees grow in the heart of town, and can you hear a lark in any other part of town? Does enchantment pour out of every door? No, it's just on the street where you live. at the time. Pass on by, I don't care as long as I can be here on the street where you're likely to be. Right here on the street where you live.
Well, Mickey, you just killed that. I mean, that was great.
Thank you. It is so much fun. Of course, I had a lot of really great musicians that were playing on that with me. I had Tommy Nash and Dave Alexander, and a bunch of great ones that made that song come true.
Well, it is just a fun CD. And so, hey, listen, if folks haven't gotten Cowgirl Swing, they need to order that and get it and make it part of their collection. And
absolutely. Christmas presents.
Christmas presents. I mean, Christmas time is a coming and getting closer all the time. One of the songs that we're going to play in just a minute is it's a Sin, and you did a duet with Dave Alexander on that one. How did that come about? Yeah, how did that come about?
Well, Cowgirl Swing is produced by Dave Alexander. He helped me get this album out, and he has been such an inspiration and a mentor for me for several years. I want to say probably about 4 years now. And getting to do a song with him was not only so much fun, but so special too. You know, when you look up to someone, as much as I look up to Dave, it's special, you know, to get to share something with them.
Right.
And that's how this whole album is for me, but especially It's a Sin, since we did duet on it. But, yeah, it's a fun song. I'm so glad Billy Mayhew wrote it back when he did. We touched up a little bit. I don't know if you've heard the original version. The original version's really slow. You say
right.
It's true when you say, you know, we kind of Quavy Sisters modified it.
Right. Well, it's a fun song. But now you're not only are you doing things like the Cowgirl Swing, but now you and Haley are a group called Texas Wildfire.
How did
that come about? And I thought about getting Haley on the show and visiting with us a little bit today, so we'll have to do that another time.
We will. Yeah. Well, I met Haley several years ago. I don't remember exactly how many, but at an Irish music festival/camp where we were both learning Irish music. And Haley is primarily a Celtic fiddler.
Uh-huh.
But last year, I was looking for a fiddler to help me out in some of my gigs, and we ran across Haley's business card. And when Mom showed the card to me, I said, "Hey, I know her. I saw her at the camp." Mom was like, "Really?" But we called her up, and she didn't know any Western swing, but she's got a really good ear. You know, she picks music up amazingly well. And in no time, she was swinging that fiddle and having so much fun. And so, yeah, we play together a lot. We also have a bass player and, on occasion, a sax player who can play with us as well. And have so much fun with that. It's fun music. Swing is fun, and it makes people happy.
Yeah, it is. I mean, you know, I'm just sitting here smiling listening to this music today. And now, have you and Haley talked about doing a joint project together?
We have, but you know, the only problem with doing those joint projects is that they still cost the same amount of money.
Right.
And that's the tough part. It's such a delicate subject, I know, but you know, it's the truth. It you know, you can really we aspire to someday be able to afford that. But since I just came out with Cowgirl Swing, and Haley just came out with a Celtic CD with another band that she plays with called Oga, we're thinking that may have to be put on the back burner for a while.
Right. Well, you know, it's kind of interesting because a lot of independent artists today are looking for alternate forms of funding for their projects.
Right.
And Susie Boggess just did I think it was an Indiegogo program where she did the CD Lucky. And that was successful. And next week we've got Templeton Thompson that's going to be joining us on the show. And she has an Indiegogo project. Yeah, she's just a cool girl. I mean, she's a close friend, and love Tempe to death. But she's doing an Indiegogo fundraising thing right now to get her next CD out. So, you know, we have to look at different ways for folks to generate funds, because these are expensive to put out and to get produced. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But gosh, so glad that you're making this music, and we've got this new CD to listen to. And let's go ahead right now and listen to the duet with you and Dave. And when we come back, we'll talk more with Mickey.
Recording it with Dave and thinking, man, this is so much fun.
Well, it is a fun CD, and you've got so many different things that are going on. You've got your novel, Girls and Gunsmoke, and
right.
How's that doing?
That is doing really well, and it has been such an adventure, such a cool adventure, you know, getting to meet other authors and, you know, having people enjoy reading it and enjoy meeting me as being the author. That's been really, really fun, sharing my stories with other people. I really enjoyed that.
Well, you are a multi talented young lady with your songwriting and your books and just such a talented young lady, and I hope that you have quit the stunt writing.
I haven't quit the writing, but the stunt writing is on hold.
Well, good. Well,
indefinitely.
I've checked out your photographs. I haven't seen that camouflage boot on, so I'm glad you're back in the boots.
I am. Thank you.
Well, where can we find you next? I think you have something special coming up this Sunday.
Well, yes, this Sunday I do. This Sunday at 4 o'clock is when Haley's CD is having its official CD release party in Allen, Texas, at the Allen Public Library. And you can go to my website or my Facebook page to see more about that.
Okay.
But I'm guest vocaling on that, so I get to sing some numbers with Oga. And that's pretty much it for December. You know, I've got a bunch of private parties and Christmas parties and that kind of thing. But my next festival is in January. I get to go to Golden, Colorado. Man, that one is so beautiful and so much fun and so well organized. I love that festival.
That should be a lot of fun. I had some of the best little silver dollar pancakes in Golden, Colorado.
Oh,
and just such a neat little town there. So give us your website, because we want people to be able to find you and pick up this CD.
Sounds good. That's mickeydaniel.com, www.mickeydaniel.com. And
okay.
I have a Facebook page for my business and for a personal page. So friend me on Facebook. I'd enjoy that. And like my business page as well.
Well, it is so much fun to keep up with you. And you have a great newsletter that you put out, too. And I enjoyed reading that this last quarterly newsletter that you sent out. So I guess people can go to your website and sign up to be on the mailing list for that.
Absolutely. Yes, sir, they can.
All right. Sure, well, Mickey, you are one of the neatest young ladies to talk with. You're always so much fun, so much talent, and I'm looking forward to having you back again soon, and we'll have to get hold of Haley and see if we can get her to join us too.
That sounds great. Thank you so much for having me on, Mr. Holt. I really appreciate it, and have enjoyed getting to chat with you about just life.
Well, it's always fun to talk with you. And we're going to close this segment out with She Could Ride, and that is from the new CD, Cowgirl Swing. And Mickey, we'll talk to you soon. Thanks so much.
She had a long black braid hanging down her back, and a California buckaroo style hat, and a smile warm as sunshine in July. She had a half wild, wide eyed Mustang stud, and spurs and jingle boots covered in mud, and a playful little twinkle in her eye. And she has ridden in the Bend, Montana, and she was raised on Bronx, too tough to ride. She was born in the wilderness of Nevada. If there was anything she could do, she could ride, ride, ride. If there was anything she could do, she could ride. Aha! Doesn't buy. Sitting tall and saddle chasing the breeze, her little bay's heart beating between her knees. If she can't be free, then she would rather die. above Monterey, watching her dreams soar on eagle's wings. She's a girl with a heart that'll never be tamed, glitter in the wind that'll never be claimed, a fire racing through the depths of her veins. And she has ridden him up in Montana. Yeah, she was raised on rocks too tough to ride. She was born in the wilderness of Nevada. If there was anything she could do, it was ride, ride, ride. If there was anything she could do, she could ride.
Christy Landwehr, who is the Chief Executive Officer of Certified Horsemanship Association. And Christy, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Gary. It's a pleasure to be on today. That was great fun listening to Mickey. She is good.
She is such a sweetheart and so talented. And we didn't really talk about that today, but she is a real horsewoman. And when she's not out traveling and touring, she loves to be working with the horses and doing some training for some other people. So we and I think she's going to listen to part of this program. I told her that you were going to be on and talking about certified horsemanship. So everybody is looking forward to finding out more about the Certified Horsemanship Association. But you're up in Colorado. How's your weather out there?
I am. You know, we're doing all right today. We're kind of going to have a day in the 40s, and I'll tell you, I was thinking if Mickey's going to be in Golden next month, I know the event that she's going to be at, I might have to take a little drive over and meet her. That would be great.
Well, you would have so much fun meeting that young lady, and I can't remember where it was that I had those little silver dollar pancakes, but I know it was the neatest little restaurant out there. Great place for breakfast, so I bet you know where I'm talking about.
You know, that whole city has the greatest restaurants and cafes. You could just walk up and down and just spend a whole day, you know, shopping and eating and, of course, going over to the brewery for a tour if you'd like. There's just a lot to do.
Well, there really is, but Colorado is a neat place, and we're happy to have you join us. But let's talk about Certified Horsemanship Association and tell us what it is and how it actually got started.
Yeah, absolutely. It's actually been around for over 45 years. It was established back in 1967. There was a gentleman, actually, who owned a camp, and he was trying to get some counselors to come in for the summer, and the ones that he had had the previous summer that he knew had all grown up and gone away to college and different places, so he needed some new group of counselors. So he kind of placed some ads, you know, saying, hey, I need experienced horse people to come and teach kids how to ride and what have you. Well, as we well know, Gary, everyone's definition of experienced is anything from I survived a trail ride that I went on at the walk to I've been competing for years and showing and what have you. So everyone's definition is very different. So needless to say, these young ladies and men that showed up to be his camp counselors, they ranged, varied very much, and he said to this group of young people, all right, let's go into this pasture and let's get the paint and let's go ahead and get the appy and let's get the bay. And they brought back completely different wrong colors and breeds. And not only that, but the halters, they made the horse look like a unicorn. So you got the lead rope coming out of the forehead, right? And he went, oh, I got a problem, Houston. This is not good. So he created our very first composite manual of horsemanship levels 1 through 4, basically for the camping world to be able to do some staff training ahead of time and understand exactly what they were getting, what that person was able to accomplish as a rider and a horse person, and also what that person might be able to accomplish as an instructor. So that's how we began years ago.
Wow. And where did that start?
It was actually down in New Mexico.
Okay.
So it was out here in the West, but now, you know, we're in all 50 states and almost every province in Canada. So we've grown quite a bit over those years. In the 1980s, we were doing quite a few membership surveys, and the association came to find out that only about 40% of their membership at that time was still in camping. The other 60% were independent instructors who traveled from barn to barn or had their own barns, or they were colleges and universities, different types of equine programs. So they kept the acronym of CHA, but they changed the name from Camp Horsemanship Association, which is what it was years ago, to mm-hmm. Certified Horsemanship Association, which is what it is now.
All right. Well, you know, it's interesting, Christy. There are a lot of people that claim to be instructors. And it was interesting. Yesterday I had somebody that sent me a message, and they said, go visit my Facebook page. I've started a new business, and I'm going to be doing some instructing and training. And their background was from a totally different field. And I thought, well, you know, I don't really know that much about this person. How do I know that that's someone that I would want to be referring people to?
And, you know, what I say often, Gary, is if I was over in Europe, I would actually be a government employee. Because over in Europe, the German Equestrian Federation and the British Horse Society and others require riding instructors and trainers to be certified through the government. And here in the United States, we don't believe in government regulation. Gosh, a lot of us don't even want to wear our seatbelts.
Right.
So needless to say, right, we've kind of gone down the private road in this country. So it is. It's completely voluntary to be a certified instructor in the United States.
Well, and I would think, and since I was introduced to you and started doing a little research on CHA, you've got so many programs that are in place in different levels, and it ranges for different disciplines as well, too, doesn't it?
It does. I would say our most popular program right now is what we call our Standard English and Western Certification. So someone can attend our clinics. We have normally in between 80 and 100 of them a year in the United States and up in Canada that are put on by host sites. Anyone listening can be a host site for us. You just have to have a host site approval process. But that 40 hours during that time frame, we have at the most up to 10 participants that come, and somebody can actually achieve level 1 all the way up through 4 in both English and Western. So let's say you're more of a Western instructor, that's kind of more your background, you can achieve a higher level in Western, but you can still certainly try for your English, flat work and jumping. We do both. And two clinicians evaluate you, teaching lessons on these school horses that are provided, and each of your fellow clinic participants role play for you and act as the age and level of which you're teaching. So during that 40-hour week, you could go ahead and technically achieve, you know, all the way up to our level 4 if you've been teaching for years in both English and Western. So we don't make you keep coming back and coming back and coming back to attain each level. It's based on where you are as an instructor when you come to your clinic.
Well, one of the things that I was impressed with, and I think it's kind of important, a lot of times people can just get a certification mail order. And, you know, you answer some questions and you send it back in, and sometimes it's an open book type thing, and then you get your certificate, and it doesn't really mean that much. But I noticed that I was doing some research that just because you attend one of the clinics, it doesn't necessarily mean that you'll be certified.
That's very true. You know, we're a 501c3 nonprofit educational organization, and our board of directors, they talk about having made an online certification possibly or something along those lines. And I'll tell you, every time our board says, no, we want to do the hands-on process because so many things happen. You know, horses are real-time. Right? Horses aren't in the past or in the future. They're present. And things can happen even with a quote-unquote bomb-proof school horse, which I don't think that term should be used in the equine industry because there's no such thing. Your really standard and true horses, right, stuff can happen. So if you're in real time, you can really see as an evaluator if that participant is going to be able to teach in an emergency situation and instruct that client of theirs or student, whether they're a young person or an older person, how to get out of that situation safely. So we truly do believe in the hands-on, and you're absolutely right. Just because you come to a certification does not mean that you're going to get certified. But we do offer what we call an assistant level, which is lower than our level one, and that's great for somebody who is just learning how to be an instructor and hasn't done much to be able to come in and still attain that certification, showing that they went through the 40 hours, they went through the process. They may not be quite ready to go solo, but they can certainly help someone else teach.
Right. Well, one of the things that impressed me about that was the fact that if I'm a consumer and I'm looking for an instructor, if they have a CHA certification, then I know that they've actually earned it and that they're a qualified person, not somebody that's just been received a certificate. And as a parent who were going to put their child in somebody's hands, that would mean a lot to me. So I was kind of impressed with that. Just because you've gone to the clinics, it doesn't mean that you'll be passed. You actually have to earn your certificate. And so I think that's pretty cool.
Well, thank you, Gary. We try really hard to market to two broad-based markets. The first one is the equine professional who either wants to get certified, wants to host one of our clinics if they have their own ranch or facility, or wants to get their site accredited for insurance discounts, things like that. And then our other marketing arm is basically to the consumer. So mom and dad that are looking for a good camp or a good riding program for their children, or the beginning adult themselves. Because as we well know, you can start learning how to ride a horse well into your 60s and 70s, right? But this isn't a sport just for kids, which is great.
Right.
And sometimes a beginner adult, you know, doesn't really know where to go, nor does a beginner parent. So what they do is they do an internet search. And an internet search is fine and dandy, but, you know, like you said, anyone can hang a shingle. We do a lot of partnering with the American Farriers Association for the same reason, because here in our country, anyone can also hang a shingle and call themselves a farrier. So we truly believe, you know, that maybe going through some sort of a process at least lets that consumer know, oh, I see. So they actually had to go through something in order to attain that. And hopefully by doing so, their safety is better, since safety is one of the key things. There's no CHA way to teach. There's no certain way to teach first trot. There's no certain way to teach first canter. For us, it's is the lesson safe, effective, and fun? And if it's those three things, and you have a lot of theory and a lot of hows, and you understand position correction of the rider to be able to fix whatever's happening, you will get certified.
Okay. Well, and we want to talk some about the programs that you have for folks that are instructors and some of the educational material that you have. Before we do that, though, I found it very interesting to find out a little bit about you and how you became involved with CHA. Can you share that with us?
Certainly. I actually grew up in Southern California, so not a whole lot of access to mass trail rides and things like this. We were definitely more in a city environment, but the town that I grew up in, of Fullerton, we had 26 miles of trail that we had to share with the mountain bikers, and we had to share with the hikers with their strollers and what have you. And I'll tell you, our horses got pretty desensitized to stuff, which was nice. So when I was 16 years old, I hung a shingle, and I taught on Popcorn. Popcorn was a POA, and I taught on him, mainly family friends, made 10 bucks an hour as a 16-year-old. That's pretty good money. Didn't realize that, you know, there was kind of a process or anything else. I had ridden myself at the local, regional, and national level for some different breed associations and had lots of riding instructors. My parents were really good about supporting my passion, even though they weren't really into the horses themselves. They said, all right, if you're into this, let's make this happen. But when I came to Colorado, actually, to go to graduate school for journalism, that's what I came out here to do, I wasn't going to pursue the horse thing. I thought, you know what, let's just go ahead and put the horse thing on hold. I had brought my older guy horse out here with me, Popcorn, and was just going to retire him, and that was going to be it. And then one thing led to another, and I founded and coached the intercollegiate equestrian team at the university that I was attending at CU Boulder. And then there was High Prairie Farms just up the road that's a hunter-jumper facility, and before you knew it, I was teaching some lessons there in exchange for riding their Grand Prix Schoolmaster dressage and hunter-jumpers. And the horse industry just wouldn't say no to me. It was like, you got to do this, you got to do this. Well, I had interned in college at the Arabian Horse Association, which is also located here in Colorado, and had become their youth programs manager, and had done a lot of their youth programming and sponsorships for quite a few years afterwards as a job. So that was kind of an interesting way to get started in the breed association world. And then I found out I was actually on the board for the American Youth Horse Council because of the Arabians, and met a woman named Julie Goodnight that some of your listeners might know, who is now a clinician. And she said, "Why aren't you certified?" And I don't even know what that is. So she explained it to me, and I went and did it. There was a clinic going on here in Steamboat Springs. It was close by my house. I took the time off, went and spent the 5 days, and became a certified instructor. I loved the process, believed in the process. It meant more to me than getting my master's degree, getting my master's through CHA. And I was just thrilled about it. I thought, wow, no one's ever taught me to teach, but here I am taking everything that I've learned from all of my instructors, using different techniques and things, coming up with my own way of teaching, and some outside entity is telling me I'm okay at that. So I love that. So then I became the marketing director for CHA on a part-time basis. They had an opening, and then 7 years ago, they promoted me to their chief executive officer.
Well, they did a good job.
Thank you, Gary. It's been a pleasure. It has been an adventure to be on it.
Yeah, and some broadcasting background as well.
Yes, I worked for WB Channel 2 here in Denver for a little while. I was actually an intern on a radio show. So, yes, I have done some, and I do enjoy that still quite a bit. And occasionally I get to do it, like today, which is great.
Yeah, well, it is a lot of fun. And, again, you know, CHA is a great organization, and I don't know why I was not aware of it sooner. But after doing some research, I'm going to encourage people to get involved with CHA. We want to take just a quick break, and sometimes we have to pay some bills, and so we want to tell folks about our Legacy Club. It's a free membership for listeners of Equestrian Legacy Radio, and we have some great sponsors that offer a lot of discounts and special offers to the members. And, you know, Christy, this year has flown by. And
yes,
we're almost at the end of the year, and we have great giveaways every month, and we also have a year-end giveaway, and so we're close to the end of the year, and you have time to enroll in the Legacy Club. Our year-end grand prize is a great two-horse portable watering system that fits right in your trailer, and that's provided by Hydro Horse LLC. So visit our website, equestrianlegacy.net, and enroll in our free Legacy Club. Take advantage of the discounts that our great sponsors have there for you. And you still have time to be enrolled for the giveaway. We'll be doing that drawing December 31st for the portable watering system from Hydro Horse. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk more with Christy. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio.
I know. Pretty as a picture in the falling snow. Colored lights shine through the night and put on quite a show. But this year my Christmas wish is Mexico. Christmas Eve is coming just a week away. It's been cold for so long now, I have to say. We're getting just a little tired of 25 below. So this year my Christmas wish is Mexico. Let's bundle up the kids and presents, and on our way we'll go. Where the sun shines all day long on the sand instead of snow. Swaying in a hammock while the sun is sinking low. This year my Christmas wish is Mexico. songs of joy and peace play on the radio. Silver bells, silent night, and let it snow. The spirit of the season sure sets my heart aglow. This year my Christmas wish is Mexico. Family and friends are gonna miss us so.
La 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 la.
We'll send greeting cards of love and mistletoe. It's just a dream we can't afford, a fantasy I know. This year my Christmas wish is Mexico. So let's bundle up kids and presents, and on our way we'll go. Where the sun shines all day long on the sand instead of snow. Swaying in a hammock while the sun is sinking low. This year my Christmas wish is Mexico. Drinking margaritas while the sun is sinking low.
La, 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 la.
This year my Christmas wish is Mexico.
Ay, 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 ay.
Hey, pass me that margarita, would ya?
Oh, much better.
I think Kip Callahan has the right idea. This year my Christmas wish might be for a warmer climate. Mexico might be all right, or Arizona, or how do you spend your Christmases?
You know, I do. We have family in Southern California, so sometimes we go there, and then we also have family here in Colorado. So one or the other. But I'll tell you what happens a lot of times. We end up taking some stragglers, because we'll do Christmas Eve with the family if we're here in Colorado, and then on Christmas Day, folks that don't have any place to go. And we have so much fun with the friends that have no place to go. So we do that sometimes.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, I lived out in El Paso, Texas for a few years. I'm an old Tennessee boy, but moved out to El Paso, which was quite a change for me. And there were so many folks that were there that had moved from somewhere else. I began to think nobody was from El Paso. But it made for a big extended family when you're out in areas like that. Colorado and Denver is such a beautiful place to be during the holidays. As I recall, the zoo is all decorated and lit up for Christmas, what is that, the city hall or the courthouse?
Yes.
There that has some of the lights. I think somebody told
absolutely
me they had.
Absolutely, and then we also, for those that are brave in the parade too, you can, if you don't mind the cold, the Christmas parade is very fun as well.
Well, it's a great place to be. But anyway, let's talk about CHA. You've got a lot of different programs that you have in place. Would that be for your instructors or just general membership? Or how does that work, Christy?
Yeah, we have both, Gary. So on the professional side, you know, for those that are either wanting to be instructors or are currently instructors, there is, of course, the benefits, including the certification that then has you be able to do insurance discounts for your professional liability insurance. Those that own an equine facility can get site accredited through us and then hopefully get facility discounts on their overall facility insurance. And then also we let them utilize our logo, and we provide an online database that we're currently doing quite a bit with through a Time to Ride initiative, which is through American Horse Council, and also a Take Me Riding initiative, which American Quarter Horse Association is doing, but it's for all breeds. And so there's a lot of different places where if somebody is doing an internet search, they can hopefully find one of our CHA instructors on not only our database, but others that we share with. And then for those that are consumers and are not necessarily wanting to be an instructor or are not an instructor, we do have horsemanship manuals and educational DVDs that we produce, as well as posters and things to put up in your barn just to remind you of safety and what have you. And they're all illustrated by Susan Harris. Susan Harris is Usha Certified Instructor through us. She received our Distinguished Service Award a couple of years ago, and she's the one that does the illustrated horse. And if you've ever seen at a horse expo, a gray horse that has all the bone structure and muscle structure painted on it, that's what Susan does.
Right,
and
right.
Does the illustrations, you know, for our manuals too. So that's been great, but lots of different things, you know, whether you're a professional or whether you're a consumer, including regional conferences. We do in between 5 and 10 of those a year. So if you go on our website, you can maybe find one near you. And then our international conference that takes place every October, you actually get to ride horses with us.
Oh,
you don't
wow.
just do the lecture thing. You get to get on school horses that are provided and ride in the different sessions that are taking place.
Well, it looks like a great event. And I was also, you have a YouTube channel as well, don't you?
We sure do. Thank you for bringing that up, Gary. We do. We have a YouTube channel, and it's free for anyone. If you go on there, it's just CHA Instructors on YouTube. We have about 35 right now YouTube safety shorts, we call them. They're in between 2 and 5 minutes long, and they're completely embeddable. You can embed them on your own website if you have a website where you want to do more instruction and training, or you can go ahead and utilize them to show your students or learn yourself. And it's everything from how to pick a hoof safely to how to saddle and bridle, both English and Western safely, to helmet fit and proper helmet fit, to breast collar fit, back cinch fit, all of those types of things.
Well, I visited the YouTube channel yesterday, and at my age, I was interested in the mounting block segment. I'm not there yet, but maybe not too long.
The biggest thing about that, just don't make it a dismounting block. Never get back off onto it. It's only to get on. Then you still got to do that long step down to the ground when you get off.
Gosh. Well, it's a lot of great information, and let's give people the website, because I was on that yesterday, and just for fun, I did a search to see how many CHA instructors were in Tennessee. So give us your website address.
I sure can. It's CHA and then instructors with an S .com. And when you go to CHAinstructors.com, you can certainly find an instructor or an equine facility near you through a zip code or a postal code search. You can also, you know, do it by discipline or name or what have you, city, things like that. And then you can also go to our store and see the different things that we have. You can find our YouTube channel that way. We also do a monthly webinar for people that might be interested in education that way. So please do come and visit.
Okay. Well, a lot of great information that was there. And you have a Facebook page as well. And how is that listed?
That's also CHA Instructors, just like it is on YouTube.
Okay. All right. So great resource there. When you were talking about the different disciplines, if you wanted to search for disciplines, I noticed that you have certifications for instructors in different disciplines. Could you talk with us about those are?
Absolutely. So like I said, about 80% of our certifications, Gary, are going to be the standard English Western, where you can get English and Western simultaneously. But then we were actually approached by the American Vaulting Association and asked to create a vaulting certification. So for those people that do the gymnastics on horseback and coach that, we do now have a vaulting certification. We also have a barn manager certification. It's called our equine facility manager certification. That's a 2.5-day program where you're not going to be getting on horses, but you're going to be demonstrating your wrapping capabilities, how to take vitals on horses, how to hitch up 2- and 3-horse trailers, how to load horses safely and unload them, tack fit, things along those lines. And then also we have our driving certification, and it's not just for the driving instructor, but also for the certified driver. I know here in Denver on the 16th Street Mall, we have quite a few carriage operators, so it would be for them as well as those that teach driving.
Okay.
So we definitely, and then we have one that, Gary, you might get a kick out of, because I know you enjoy kind of the trail aspect of things, too, as well as I. We
right.
have a day ride trail guide certification program for those that just take folks out on 1- or 2-hour rides. And then we have a get it done, pack out in the wilderness for 5 days certification.
Oh, wow. Wow.
That includes everything. Leave no trace. You know, we're doing quite a bit now with Backcountry Horsemen. As a matter of fact, Jim, who's on your show quite often, their current
right.
chairman, just became a board member of ours. And it is. It's the pack out in the wilderness for 5 days and get certified on not only your horsemanship skills on high lining and picket lining and hobbling your horses and those types of things, but also Dutch oven cooking, setting up the tent, you know, all of those things that are so important when we're out in the backcountry.
Oh, wow. Wow. That is so cool. Well, just so much information. And, yeah, I was really surprised when I looked at the website and looked at the different certifications that are available. There's so many different disciplines. And, you know, at first I thought, well, that's, you know, certification for people just to instruct folks to ride. But it actually does go into the different areas. And fascinating about the backcountry trail part of the program that you have as well. So what does CHA mean to – I was going to ask this question before I could jump into that. Breed associations, if they wanted to get involved with CHA, how would they go about doing that?
Yes. We actually have right now two Education Alliance partnerships. One is with the American Quarter Horse Association, and one is with the Arabian Horse Association, because as most listeners know, we all started on a horse somewhere. Either it was
right.
A school horse, went and took a lesson, or it was our own horse that our parents bought for us, or we just had the luxury of growing up in a horse family and we had them. We all remember those first rides, and it can be any breed that makes a really good first ride for people. Some people prefer one breed over another for whatever reason, but, you know, there are great school horses in every single breed. So we do partner with all breed associations. And what we like to do, about 80 to 85% of our membership, anytime we do a membership survey, Gary, they end up teaching beginners to ride. So most of us own school horses, and most of us love to do that first touch. We love the beginner, whether they're a kid or an adult, and take them through a very solid basic foundation of horsemanship. So then when they get to the point where they can do all the gates on a school horse, maybe they want to buy a particular breed of horse, and then we'll partner with a breed association, contact their professional horsemen in the area, and be a feeder chain for them. Oftentimes, some of the professionals and some of the breed associations really just want the people that want to go show and don't necessarily want to teach the complete beginner, so it's a nice pipeline for them to give them folks that come in with that solid foundation that then might want to pursue the showing or a certain discipline like reining or dressage or what have you.
Well, that's pretty interesting. I think you know that I've been involved with the Tennessee Walking Horse Breeders Association forever, and
yes.
I actually serve on the marketing and the pleasure committees right now, and there is a certification program that they have, but I could see some advantages, a lot of advantages, for a breed association becoming an affiliate with CHA and actually incorporating and using your programs. And I guess that's something that can be done.
It absolutely can. And I'll tell you, too, then we can utilize those breeds in our YouTube videos, right, that then gives a little bit more outreach to the breed. I love it when we go in and we do a clinic on, let's say, at an all-Arabian place or an all-Pasofino place, which we just recently did, because then folks that come in for the clinic to get certified that maybe have never had any experience with that particular breed go, wow, this has been a great week to be able to ride and teach on this breed that I've never even had any involvement with before. So I think the outreach for breed associations through us is quite large.
Well, it's a great organization. I'm so glad. And as a matter of fact, it was because of Jim McGarvey that I found out about CHA, and I told Jim, I said, I guess I was hiding under a rock not to be aware of CHA before, but grateful to Jim. And you've got a good man that's serving as one of your directors now, so we thank a lot of Jim and Backcountry Horsemen, and we've been partnering with them for, I guess, about a year and a half now to bring information to folks. And I think we're probably going to have you back on to talk more about CHA and how people can get involved and some of these topics that you've just touched on while we were chatting today.
Well, Gary, I would absolutely love that. You know, anytime that you want to have me come on and talk about a particular topic or about CHA as a whole, I would love to share it with people. You know, as a 501c3 nonprofit, you've mentioned a couple of times you haven't been able to find us, and you're not the only one. You know, I think for an entire year, I have something crazy like $3,000 to spend on marketing, and that's everything. That includes every single bit of advertising. And as some of you well know, you know, a full-page ad in some of these publications and things would be that entire budget. So we have to be very creative with partnerships and very creative on how we get the word out about who we are. So, again, we're just thrilled today to be on the Equestrian Legacy radio show and be able to share with people. Thank you.
Well, we are so happy to have had you on, and we look forward to having you back again. And before we leave this segment of the show, would you give us your website again one more time?
Absolutely. It's chainstructors.com.
All right. So be sure and check them out. Visit their Facebook page as well, and you'll get some great information there. You'll enjoy the YouTube channel and the other programs that they have in place. So, Christy, thanks for being with us, and have a very Merry Christmas and Happy New Year, and we look forward to talking with you again.
You as well, Gary. It's been my pleasure.
All right. Thanks so much. When we come back, we'll be wrapping some things up, but we're going to listen to a little bit of the Cowboy Christmas Style with Michael Martin Murphy.
On a winter night, by full moonlight, two horses and an open sleigh. We'll take a ride, a cowboy and his bride, and stop for friends along the way. The time is here, we've waited all year, and holiday excitement fills the air. We'll make the hillsides ring with the songs we'll sing, go gliding through the old town square. It's the cowboy way of celebrating Christmas, come and ride along beside us for a while. Could there ever be a time as fine as this is? Christmas cowboy style.
Yodeling in the snow, a yodeling ho, ho, ho.
Christmas cowboy style. So on we go through the falling snow to warm ourselves by Grandpa's fire. The family gathered round the tree, all singers in a country choir. There'll be gifts handmade, reins of rawhide braid, a saddle blanket woven red and white. It's working gear we'll use all year, and remember Christmas night. It's the cowboy way of celebrating Christmas, come and ride along beside us for a while. Could there ever be a time as fine as this is? Christmas cowboy style.
Yodeling in the snow, yodeling ho, ho, ho.
Christmas cowboy style.
Yodeling in the snow, yodeling ho, ho, ho.
Christmas cowboy style.
Yodeling in the snow, yodeling ho, 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 ho.
Christmas cowboy style.
Well, we've had a fun time today talking with Mickey Daniel. Mickey is always so much fun to have on the show and to share her music with. And be sure and check her website out, MickeyDaniel.com. Visit her Facebook page and become a friend there. And be sure and pick up that Cowgirl Swing CD. It is a lot of fun. And then we're thankful that Christy could join us today with with Certified Horsemanship Association. Visit their website as well, and a lot of great information, and visit them on Facebook and like that page too. We've got a lot of great shows that are coming up for the rest of the year, and gosh, it just has flown by. I want to remind you again to visit equestrianlegacy.net and sign up for our free Legacy Club and take advantage of the discounts and offers from our sponsors there. If you haven't done your Christmas shopping, the Christmas Shop is a great place to visit and visit with all of our horse friends and merchants that are there as well on the Christmas Shop on our website. And visit in the general store. There's something for all the horse lovers on your Christmas list in the general store and in the Christmas Shop. Coming up on Sunday on Blessed Trails with Belinda Gale, Belinda has a great guest that's joining her, and that's Devon Dawson. And Devon is an extremely talented artist. She is multi-award winning, some beautiful music that they're going to share, and some great inspirational stories and thoughts there. But Devon is a ton of fun, and you'll enjoy Blessed Trails with Belinda Gale this Sunday morning at 9 o'clock. And then on Tuesday, join us for Saddle Up America. Robert Eversole, the Trailmeister, will be joining us, and he'll have a lot of great tips for us for trail riding in the fall and in the winter months. And we'll be traveling to, I believe, Missouri to visit another great guest ranch on Saddle Up America on Tuesday at noon. And then next Thursday, join us. We'll be talking with Templeton Thompson, and Templeton will be sharing her music. Always a joy to talk to her. And we have Darlene Newman, the Emmy Award-winning host of Equitrekking, that will be with us next Thursday. So we appreciate you listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio today, and we remind you, as always, if you climb in the saddle, get ready for the ride. Thanks for listening.
Crunch of the snow and the bite of the air, the clang of the stockyard gate. Keep the truck running, the radio humming tonight. You don't want to be late. The smell of the wood smoke, the light from the windows, welcome you back home again. Kick the snow off your boots and shut the door tight. Let the celebration begin. With a cowboy Christmas tonight. Watching headlights bump down the old gravel drive as family and friends arrive. Get out the guitars and everyone sings Jingle Bells and Oh Holy Night. The men all swap stories of past cowboy glory, the weather and the high price of hay. All the food brought tonight was cooked up just right, and we all hold hands as we pray. It's a cowboy Christmas tonight. Kids are all whispering secrets down round the Christmas tree. The grown-ups gather up coats to call it a night. Dinah will be there soon, but there'll still be stock to see. Christmas on the range starts early and bright. Goodbye to your friends. Time to tuck the kids in. There's one last thing to be done. Get out the Bible, light a candle, read the story of God's own son. Long, long ago on a range much like this, there were shepherds and a star shining bright. The wise men brought gifts and the angels did sing, bringing honor to Jesus feels right. With a cowboy Christmas tonight.